are. Just want to welcome everyone. I just want to remind everyone that Learning in the Shul this week is graciously sponsored by the Rosenzweigs and by the Pinskers in memory of their loved ones, memory of Lynn's father, in memory of Marvin's father, and in memory of Lynn's grandfather, Aleihem HaShalom, and in memory of Chaim and Yossi's grandmother, Aleha Shalom. And so it's our hope that all the neshamos will have a schus aliyas neshama. So I was telling I was telling everybody today what happened to us last week and how, you know, I had prepared early in advance and I was so excited. Today I walked out after Daf Yomi. I was all set. I had even talked out one of the questions with Rabbi Teitz, which goes to show you that I really wanted to take it seriously. And it was all the rage this week. It was like literally everywhere I turned, everyone was talking about it. And I walk out of Shachas, come back in, and sure enough, another bit of information came in. So if you guys don't have a particular choice, I'm going to try to vote this week also, just because on the surface, one of the two topics is more interesting than the other. But I believe, honestly, the second one caused a little, the other one caused more stir in the world this year. And I'll have what to say about it. My boss has demanded that his employees be vaccinated against COVID-19 due to the fact, due to the type of work we do. He's also making us sign a waiver of claims for damages stemming from the vaccine. Does he have a right to make such a demand and transfer a risk to a reluctant employee? So question number one is the boss who wants to have his workers sign a waiver of claim, and does he have a right to do that? And does he have a right to make us push ourselves and get a vaccine? Okay, that's question one. Question number two. This week is Rosh Chodesh and Parshas Shkalim, in addition to being Parshas Mishpatim, which it is. Usually that would mean a three Torah Shabbos, which it does. However, given the multiple minyanim situation, many of the minyanim will not have three Torahs to work with. Can we reverse the order? The normal order, by the way, just parenthetically, is to read Parshas Mishpatim, followed by the laning for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, followed by Parshas Shkalim. Can we reverse the order and read Mishpatim, followed by Shkalim, because Shkalim is in Parshas Kisisa, it's closer, and then the section of Rosh Chodesh, in order to minimize the rolling, and thus the Tircha Ditzibura? And what about if we're davening outdoors, and we're freezing? So question number one, again, is the boss who demands that his workers be vaccinated and sign a release for it. Question number two has to do with the people who are freezing outside or the people who don't want to wait and want to reverse the order of laning to minimize the amount of time it takes for them to do the laning on Shabbos. Any particular choices? I'm going to do number two first, and I'll tell you why. Because as ironic as it sounds, question number two created a massive, massive, massive amount of a stir this week. I can't understand why, right? But it's one of the things I'm learning through this whole last year of COVID is that all the things that through the years we never paid attention to because we said, yeah, you know that, but let's just go on. What to do when you don't have a Torah and a minyan? What do you do, you know, under this crazy situation, that crazy situation? Now, all of a sudden, those things become fundamental to us. And so I find myself saying, you know, all those areas that we always skipped over and stuck to the more meaty, commonplace situations, now all of a sudden, the opposite is happening. And so this year, I think we finally talk about what do we do when we have a limited number of Torahs in the United States? What a rare occasion. And to have to speed through because there's a question, what a rare occasion. So I believe in strike while the iron is hot. And I want to deal with that question and share with you just some of the fascinating worldwide back and forth. And like I said, when I walked in to give the daf this morning, we were going in one direction. When I walked out and came back in for Shacharis, the shir just got that much more enlightened. And so just based on two messages that two different people sent me in a span of 45 minutes. So we'll take it apart if it's okay with everybody. So again, we're trying to figure out the order and the rolling. So what are some of the issues we need to look at?
Well, once they, one Sefer Torah has six aliyot in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two Sifrei Torah, or if you have one Sefer Torah altogether, has one aliyah each. And Shkalim is supposed to be the master, because we say the Haftorah for Shkalim. Some shuls have the minhag of saying the first few psukim of Rosh Chodesh and the last two psukim on it, which is the minhag in Elizabeth.
Right.
But how do you get around that?
Okay, so Doc says, let's assume we're using one Sefer Torah, right? What does that do for the fact that we have a Haftorah and there's an order there? And what would that do for the order? So that's one thing we're going to have to examine when we take apart the question. What other issues? How did we come to this issue? How did you come up with that order that we're supposed to do Mishpatim followed by Rosh Chodesh followed by Shkalim? Do you remember the rule? So our rule is something called Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodem, that we have a rule called when something is more frequent, occurs more frequently than something else, that one comes first. So, you know, if the suggestion is to reverse the order because of the location within the Torah, that's going to be something we're going to have to sort of consider when and where and how strong a rule is Tadir V'Sheino Tadir. How about the opposite? The argument that's being advanced is an argument of tircha ditzibura. What's tircha ditzibura? There's a certain degree of pressure, if I may, or of burden by having people stand around, right? I have to wait till you go from Parshas Mishpatim all the way to Parshas Pinchas, and then go from Parshas Pinchas all the way back. Now, most places and most times, that's not a big deal. I was looking inside the Aron Kodesh today to try to figure out how I'm going to prepare. I have to be honest. I think when we're done, I'm going to have 1 minion in shul that's going to use 3 Torahs, 2 minionim that'll use 3 Torahs, 1 minion that will use 2 Torahs, and 1 minion that will be using 1 Torah. It just happens to work out that way based on location and available Sifrei Torah. But it's funny because like all the permutations will be used most likely at AI this Shabbos. But you know, as we're talking about the minion that's going to have one Sefer Torah, the offsite minion, they're going to have to roll there, and then they're going to have to roll back, right? It's just the way it's going to have to be. Is there a tircha ditzibura? And if so, maybe that's a reason to push in one direction.
Except I have a question here.
Yeah, I go ahead.
Is the minion that's outside and has one Sefer Torah, are they saying Anim Zemirot?
That's an interesting question. Why are you asking that question?
Because certain things we can... Let's say if we have to roll the Sifrei Torah, each one takes 5 minutes. So the question is it important to say Anim Zimirot, or maybe people could say it when they get home.
Okay.
Or maybe we could start right before Ishtabach. Let's say it's a whole bunch of time.
And let's say in the outdoor minion, in the question we asked, let's say they're doing all those things already. It's still, degrees outside, let's say, or 17 degrees or 24 degrees. You know, a really nice warm 24. My little guy is very into the weather. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. But he likes to check the weather. So he was telling me on the way to school the other day, do you know in Antarctica, a summer in Antarctica is like 20 degrees out. That's summertime in Antarctica. And I said to him, can you imagine happening outside in Antarctica? You know, little kids, you know. But the truth is, yes, you're right. But let's assume that all that's being done, right? But I'm gonna put that on the table. The last topic I'm gonna bring up just for discussion, and then we'll actually roll up our sleeves and take apart these issues. The last topic I thought of is if I'm rolling from Mishpatim to Rosh Chodesh, I'm passing by another section that I need, namely Parsha Shkalim. Does the rule of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvot, that we don't pass by mitzvos, does it apply? So like, for instance, a person putting on tefillin who comes across, right? Let's say I have my talis and my tefillin in my talis bag. If I pull out my tefillin first, I should put it on before I put on my talis, even though the order should be reversed. And what's the reason for that? Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos. This is why when we have talis bags and whatnot, if you keep your tefillin in your talis bag, you always want to make sure the tefillin is not closer, right? Because you want to be able to make sure you grab the right one on time. But it happens sometimes. I remember somebody came up to me in shul and said to me, I only have my tefillin. Can you get me a talis? And I said, sure. And while I'm working on getting him a talis, he puts on his tefillin. And I said to him, what'd you do? He said, well, I put it on. I said, okay. And I said, this is the first time I think I've ever seen somebody who wanted to do both mitzvos, right? And put on his tefillin first because that's what he came up with first. That's what he came to first. And he wasn't ready to wait until I could go over and get him a talis. This is going back a couple of years already. But I didn't remember seeing it at another point in time. So now that we have some of what I think are the major issues on the table, it's funny because some of Dr. Wenger's points are actually going to be fascinating for us, because you'll see how the post can take a look at it. And it's fascinating to me how you went right for the jugular, I think. But let's take a look, right? Let's start with Tircha D'Tzibura. What's Tircha D'Tzibura and what's the source? So in regard to, you know, on the one hand, we have a principle where we say that, you know, we have responsibility not to roll the Sefer Torah to the proper, to make sure that we don't have to roll a Sefer Torah when you take it out. It's the responsibility of the Gabbai. Reshach used to tell us all the time, I think he printed it in his Sefer, or the Sefer that nice tall fellow, Dr. Alan Weissman, who used to come visit us before Corona, printed in one of the works of Shechter on Tefillah. So Reshach used to warn us all the time that it's a job of a Gabbai to roll the Sefer Torah beforehand to make sure that there's no Tircha D'Tzibura. And that's consistent with the Gemara in Yuma. If you remember, Yuma deals primarily with what? Yom HaKippurim. Who's the primary character of the day on Yom Kippur in Masechta Yuma?
The Kohen Gadol.
Very good. And and we know that most of the Masechta, till the very last parak, deals primarily with the steps of the Avodah. Well, towards the end of the Avodah, we see this whole fancy ceremony where the Shamas of the Beis HaMikdash takes out a Sefer Torah and he gives it to the Skan Kohen Gadol, who gives it to the Kohen Gadol, who opens it up and reads it. And then when he's done reading from the Sefer Torah, he closes it up, and he reads that what you and I would call the Maftir, the section that gets read, you and I turn around and we take a look at it, and what happens? We turn around and we see that as that happens, we turn around and let him read it by heart. So the question has to be asked. Maybe that should be the same thing over here. We have times that for Tircha D'Tzibura, we turn around and we just have a Kohen Gadol read out loud. So that issue is challenged in Halacha and Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Mem Dalet Tzif Gimel. We also note that we roll a Sefer Torah on Yantiv. And it should be noted that the Rashba, who cited by the Beis Yosef, who says, we don't usually lane by heart. The Rashba says that if we would read the Maftir by heart, just like the Kohen Gadol did, but the Rashba is a minority opinion, we don't paskin that way. Most of the time, we insist that you not read it by heart. Better you should roll the Torah. So the question is, why? Why is it okay for the Kohen Gadol to do it, and it's not okay for us to do it? It should seem to suggest that it is okay. Well, so the Magen Avram in Kuf Mem Dalet Zion notes that the Tzibur, when you and I are sitting in shul, we're lenient on our kavod. We don't have to worry about Tircha D'Tzibura so that we can do the Kriyas HaTorah properly. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was in front of the entire Jewish people. And while you can be lenient on one group's kavod, you don't have the right to be lenient on the entire Tzibur's kavod. That's the suggestion of the Magen Avraham. You can do it for a small congregation, but not for Am Yisrael. So the question has to be asked, though, why should there be difference between a small minion of people, even if that minion could be 600, 700, 800 people, and the big shul in KJ in Manhattan, right? They had one minion on Yontif, 850, 900 people, right? It's a decent sized number. Why are we allowed to be lenient? Of course, if the Shamus in KJ ever forgot to roll the Torah, I don't know if they would be lenient on him so easily next time, but that's another discussion. So Rav Asher Weiss, the great Gaon, whom we love to quote in a work called, in the work Bamidbar Tinyana, it's not out yet, but my friend Rav Shai Shachter sent it to me this week. There's an essay in there on Tirecha de Tzibura. And then, of course, I received Rav Asher's summary notes from the shir, the weekly shir he gives on the parasha. And there it was again, right there in this morning's reading. So Rav Asher suggests in both places that when it comes to the respect due to Am Yisrael, Mechila doesn't work in the same way that when a parent wants to be mochel on a parent's kavod, right? And my kids, I ask them, you know, can you get me a glass of water? And the kid says, I say, you know what? Forget about it. I'll go get myself the glass. I'd rather you stay and do what you're doing. So I'm lenient on my kavod. So a parent that wants to be mekel on his kavod, the parent has a right to be mekel. But melech shemachal al kvodo, the king who wants to be mochel on his kavod, the Jewish king, is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. And why is that? Because it's not his kavod, says the Gemara. It's the kavod of Am Yisrael. And so we see that if the king can't be lenient on his kavod because it's the kavod of Am Yisrael, says Rav Asher, it must be Am Yisrael can't be mekel on their kavod. Am Yisrael can't be lenient on its kavod either. Right? Moreover, says Rav Asher, tircha and kavod of a tzibur may be different, right, than the sum total of the individuals, right? And maybe the concept of a tzibur, right, doesn't lend itself to mechila in the same way. It just doesn't work out that way. And then Rav Asher adds another section, and he makes another suggestion. He says he assumes simply, even though the Magen Avraham says that a tzibur can be lenient on its kavod, that's only for tircha de tzibura. But for other issues of kavod hatzibur, like for instance, we don't give women aliyos. That this says the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, which my son's about to learn, proving that everything's connected, right? That we see from there that we don't just simply have that ability to turn around and say, we're at Tzibur, we're going to be lenient. And we've never done that. And we see other cases as well. Let's say we were to decide, we say that a person can't read from the Torah when the person is not dressed, right? That's a question of Kavod HaTzibur. If I come to shul inappropriately attired and I want to go up to the Amud, I'm wearing tatters. And the people say, you know, we feel bad for him. We should dom to the Amud in tatters. You know, and we're the Tzibur, we say it's okay. The answer is we're not allowed to let him go up there in tatters. Why is that? Because mechila doesn't work. And we're not talking about a specific tzibur. When we talk about Am Yisrael's kavod, this is the kavod of Am Yisrael. This is our code. And on our code, it's not open to any particular tzibur to make their decision as to what they're going to do. When it comes, and thus Rav Asher says, in his mind, he sees a differentiation between tircha de tzibura and kavod HaTzibur, and so therefore he doesn't understand where the Magen Avraham was coming from. Avni Nezer in Chosha Mishpat, Simon Kuf, Nun Beis, offers a totally different issue as to why there should be a difference between the Kohen Gadol reading by heart and us deciding that we can allow the Maftir for Parsha Shkolim to be read by heart, or the Maftir for Rosh Chodesh to be read by heart. It says the Avni Nezer, the Kohen Gadol reads on Yom Kippur because of whose obligation? Who is obligated to lay on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash? Is that a Chovas HaYachid? Is it an individual thing that the Kohen Gadol has to do? Or is it your or my responsibility? So the Avni Nezer, the great Rebbe of Sachachov, he says that no, that's his obligation, as opposed to reading Musaf on Yantif, which is an obligation of the congregation, or with Parsha Shkalim. Well, and why is that? He says it's very simple. The individual has to read the Torah, because if it was an obligation on the whole tzibur, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that every, you know, that the person who would stand where the Kohen Gadol was reading the Torah would not be able to see another part of the Avodah. The way that it was split up would be in different places. But if the Kohen Gadol has an obligation to make sure you and I are Yotze with the Kriyas HaTorah, then what should happen? We all should have to all scrunch over to that section of the Beis HaMikdash where he's reading the Torah, because we're all part of the same congregation. Good answer, no? Right? So it must be he's reading for himself. For himself, he can read by heart. But when you and I have an obligation, whether it's a rabbinic obligation like Parsha Shkalim, or the Maftir of Yontif, so then, there we don't have a right to just say you could do it by heart. And that is the suggestion of the Avni Nezer. Well, Rav Asher says he doesn't like that suggestion. He says a chovas hatzivor, right? The avoda is not a chovas hayachid. And you and I should know that quite well because we learned it in the daf this week. Remember this week we talked about the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur at the very end of last week's series of dafim, right? And sure enough, we mentioned the avoda, proving once again what, my dear friend Dr. Wenger, it is all connected. But we see that although it was performed by a single individual, the avoda was not considered the job of the Kohen Gadol. And so thus the steps of the avoda are also not the job of the Kohen Gadol. It's the job of all of us. He's just the one who's carrying out the order. And so therefore he says he doesn't like the Avnei Nezer solution, says Rav Asher. He says it's just incorrect. Which leads me to a temporary question. What happens if I take out the wrong Sefer Torah, right? I come to a shul. I know I have enough Sefer Torah there. Right? But I take out the wrong one. Can I switch the Sefer Torah? Because rolling it will be a problem of Tircha Ditzibura. So here Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe Orachayim Chelet Beis Simen Lamed Zayin says that if I took out the wrong Sefer Torah, I prepared three Sefer Torah. And Marvin wasn't in the room when Marvin took them out. So the tags were, you know, somebody decided to have some fun. And he switched over to the tags, right? So now I have the wrong Sefer Torah, right? Or they took out the wrong Torahs, totally, right? So can I roll it, or should I take the proper one out of the Aron Kodesh, or should I roll the one that's here? So Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he quotes from Rav Yaakov Emden, who says that there's a machlokes. There's a very well-known machlokas as to what's stronger, Tircha Ditzibura or embarrassing the Sefer Torah, because people are going to walk away saying, oh, you see, the Torah was possible. That's why he put it back inside. So Rav Moshe Paskins, there are two arguments over here. And so the proper thing that should happen is that the Tzibur should get together and avoid the question by saying, we're mochel on Tircha Ditzibura for the sake of the respect for the Sefer Torah, right? But the main thing is, don't cause a machlokas. Says Rav Asher Weiss, with all due respect for Moshe Feinstein, and if you've ever heard Rav Asher talk, he's so deferential to Moshe. Mentioned in his shir on Sunday that there's a good reason why he's deferential to Moshe Feinstein. He says he grew up, and for a small period of his life, he spent a lot of time with Moshe Feinstein as a kid, and he just was blown away by the greatness that was Moshe. So, Ramosha was a very unique posek and the way that he carried himself and answered questions. So he says, with all deference, though, I would assume that it should really depend how close to the Aron Kodesh you were. He says, if we're really standing right there by the Aron Kodesh, that if we just would slip it in one for the other, it wouldn't make a difference. And Ramosha says that would be very different than if I brought the Sefer Torah all the way to the Bima. And now we bring it back, everybody would notice. And so there he says, he would make one difference. In one case, we would be more concerned about Tircha Ditzibura. And we'd say, maybe just take it and put it right back into the Aron Kodesh. Nobody cares. In the other case, where we have to make this long trek from the Bima back to the Aron, there it would be better to have the Tzibur just give in on their piece. So I'm talking to Rabbi Teitz about this earlier this week. And he said, with all deference to Rav Asher Weiss, I don't believe that is the halacha. He said, once it's out, too bad. And to be fair, not that Rabbi Teitz needs me to back him up, That is definitely what I remember growing up as being the accepted normative practice. So as far as the question of Tircha Ditzibura is concerned, there are limitations. There are opportunities where we do consider Tircha Ditzibura as a factor, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We mentioned the Magen Avram. We mentioned Avni Nezer. We mentioned Rav Asher Weiss, but we haven't seen, does that really apply in our case yet? So that's the first piece of our answering the question. Our second piece is Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos, that when we have three Sifrei Torah, we generally follow the rule, Tadir v'she'eino Tadir Tadir Kodem, when we have something more common that comes ahead of something that's less common. Kriyas HaTorah on a week-to-week basis, that's most common. So you read Parshas Mishpatim first. Rosh Chodesh, 12 times a year. Parshas Shkalim, once a year. So the order should be Parshas HaShavua, Parshas Rosh Chodesh, Parshas Shkalim. But the Ramon, or Chaim Simon, Taf Reish, Samach Aleph, I'm sorry, Samach Tes, if Aleph, says that if I only have two Sifrei Torah, the first should be used to read Parshas HaShavua, the second should be used for Rosh Chodesh, and while the second one's being read, the first one should be rolled to Kisisa, which is a very short roll, right? It's like three columns, five columns, nothing major. Now, but when you have a situation where you have only one Sefer Torah, so Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, the Shari Ephraim, in Shar Ches, Ayin Hay and Pei Gimel, says we follow that sequence. You do Tadir Sheino, Tadir Tadir Kodim. But, and since I'm in Elizabeth, it's my responsibility to note the connection, right? There is another famous Rav, Rav Elio David Rabinowitz Tumim, otherwise known as the Aderet, who, by the way, is a great, great granduncle of Rabbanitites, proving what? It's all connected.
All connected.
It's all connected. So the Aderet in Over Orach, which is his commentary to Orachayim, in Tafresh, Pei Dalad Gimel, he says something very unique. He says if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, right, where we also, that's one of the other times we could have a three-alarmer, right? He says there, if you only have one Sefer Torah, you read Parshas HaShavua, and then you would read the story of the Nisim, which is in Parshas Naso, and then you keep going ahead till you get to Parshas Pinchas. That's his suggestion. And why? The Aderet says, because of Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos. If you have to go past Parshas Naso to get to the Maftir and then go backwards, he says, that makes no sense. You're going to wind up passing by one to get to the other one. And so therefore, the Aderet says that in order to get to the Parshas, following that logic, if in order to get to Parshas Rosh Chodesh, you have to pass Parshas Shkalim, he would say that the correct order would be Parshas HaShavua Mishpatim, then Rosh Chodesh. I'm sorry, then Shkalim, then Rosh Chodesh, because you're moving in order. And you won't come to Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos. But that's not what we do. So the reason why that's not what we do, so it sounds like the Shari Ephraim says, we're not passing through over mitzvos. Kriyas HaTorah is how many mitzvos?
One mitzvah.
Exactly. What the Shari Ephraim would say is, it's one mitzvah that comes in three parts. It's not three distinct mitzvos. This is one mitzvah that comes in three parts. So we're not called, it's not called passing over one mitzvah to get to another mitzvah. Theoretically speaking, if my Megillah was sitting in front of my Sefer Torah and I had to knock the Megillah out of place in order to get to the Sefer Torah, then we could talk about Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos. Or when we talk about what we said before with the Talis and the Tefillin, they're two different mitzvos. But here it's one mitzvah. There's no possibility of arguing, says the Shari Ephraim, there's no possibility of arguing Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos, because to be Ma'avir on a mitzvah, you'd have to be doing a different mitzvah. Here you're not going to be doing that. So Shachter mentioned, and Dr. Wenger mentioned, that we have a third issue to contend with. And what's the third issue? The third issue, besides the issue of Tircha Ditzibura that we discussed, and besides the issue of Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos, which we just mentioned, there's a third issue. And it has nothing to do with the Kriyas HaTorah. It has to do with the Kriyas Ha
Haftor.
And so my dear friend, Rav Shai Shechter, in an email that he sent to me containing a letter in his father's writing on February 8th, which today's the 11th, so this is 3 days ago. So he said, our other dear friend, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, wrote to Rav Shechter. Apparently in North Woodmere, where Rabbi Leibowitz serves as a rabbi, there are still people davening outside. I know there are a lot of other places where that is the case. And we certainly are not moving three Sefrei Torah to an off-site place where they can't be stored properly. So he said, maybe we should allow this practice of allowing people to follow straight because it's 11 degrees or 15 degrees or 25 degrees outside. Maybe we should work out of order. So Rav Shechter said, wait a minute. The aforementioned Shari Ephraim in Shar Ches at the end of the second parak, the Shari Ephraim, Rav Shechter used to always quote to us, gets quoted quite a bit in matters of Kriyas HaTorah particularly. So here he says, if you do that, you'd wind up messing up the Haftorah. Because the Haftorah, the rule is that Haftorah always, always, always follows the Maftir. Right? Always. Except in rare occasions. Macha Chodesh. Right? But otherwise, if you have a Haftorah, the Haftorah always follows some connection to the last Aliyah. And so if that were the case, then what would we do? If I laned the Haftorah, if I laned the order Parshas Mishpatim, followed by Parshas Shkalim, followed by the Maftir of Rosh Chodesh, right? Which Haftorah should I read?
For Rosh Chodesh.
But yet, what are we supposed to be doing?
Shkalim.
So the Shari Ephraim says you'd be forgetting that Takana of Chazal. And for my Sephardic brethren, the Kaf HaChaim and Simon Taf Reish Pehei Sif Yudalin agrees very strongly with the Shari Ephraim. So Rav Shechter said, I think that is the proper way to proceed, right? I think the proper thing to do is be very concerned about that Haftorah. And that seems to be based, fascinating, you know, just as far as storylines are concerned. It's fascinating because the Shari Ephraim bases himself on a story that appears in the writings of the No de Yehuda. The No de Yehuda is in Madure Tenyana or Rechaim Simon Yer Aleph, where it's just an interesting tidbit for people, you know, the Wengers and I like Henry Abramson, Professor Abramson's little tidbits on the daf. Well, here's a little tidbit on the Chabura, right? The No de Yehuda there tells the following story. He says the people called him from the base Knesset Shel Bochrim, which you and I would probably call a teen minion, right? They had a teen minion in Prague, right? And it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Shkalim, and that minion, they accidentally read the Maftir. When they got to Shvi, they started reading the Maftir of Parashat Shkalim, and then they read Rosh Chodesh. And so they realized, whoops, we made a mistake. And after the last guy read the bracha and read the first few psukim, they realized, whoops, what do we do? So they run out to the rabbi's house and they find him in the study. I guess the teen minion ended later than the minion that the No de Yehuda went to. And he said, well, since you already started, you should finish Parsha Shkalim, right? And since you're going to be reading the Maftir for the Haftor, the Maftir for Rosh Chodesh afterwards, because you guys messed up, well, the Haftorah has to match the Maftir, and that would be the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. So in this town in Prague, you guys will have started, as opposed to everybody else, you guys will be reading the Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Everybody else will read the one for the regular Shabbos Shkalim. It's interesting, because who was this base HaKnesses of Bochrim? One thing I know is that whatever it was, the Bachram were falling behind the No de Yehuda, right? He was already sitting in his study. That's all I know. But there you have another bit of information for interest. How do we paskin la halacha? So it's interesting. The other two bits of information I received today came from Rav Rimon in Har Etzion, this tremendous posik in the religious Zionist community. We've started to quote more often, a wonderful Talmud Chacham, and the chief rabbi of the state of Israel, Ashkenazi chief rabbi Rav David Lau. So I get these two bits of information between the end of between the daf and shachris this morning. One person sent me the first one. One person sends me the second and texts me, "You got to take a look at our two texts because they're worth it." So Rav Rimon said, apparently the weather in Israel is not as great right now. And the people are still, for the most part, still davening outside based on certain restrictions. And so that being the case, they asked Rav Rimon, "What do we do?" And Rav Rimon said, "If it's really unbearable, what you should do is do the thing that has the least amount of tircha d'tzibura." Only catch is that because of that tshuva of the Noda Behuda, the haftorah you would read would be the haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. And he paskins that way. You know who else paskin that way for the same reason? Rav Lau, Rav David Lau, chief rabbi of the state of Israel. So apparently, if you follow the Rabbanut, right, there is a very, very distinct chance that you might be laning a different haftorah this Shabbos if you're davening in an outdoor minyan than somebody else who's davening in an indoor minyan. And what's the basis? The basis is the question of tircha. But Rav Asher Weiss, and of course my Rebbe Rav Schechter, were both of the opinion that that's an incorrect thing, that it's not such a big deal. So I'm talking this out with Rabbi Teitz yesterday. And after Mincha Maariv, I asked him, I said, "I'm working through this." And I started to share. He loves to see what's going on in town. So Chef says, so Rav Teitz says to me, "Of course you're not." He says, "First of all, we're laning indoors." Right? He says, "Let the people deal with it." And then he pointed out a suggestion, right? But he said, the bottom line, there's going to be tircha for everybody anyway. He says, the bottom line is, you're going to have to roll that sefer Torah back for mincha, so the people are going to have to deal with the tircha anyway. I think he said that half tongue in cheek, because obviously the people are going to have the tircha, or the gaboyim, who are going to have to deal with the rolling. But Rav Teitz, like a practical Rav, says, why don't you use the time differently? There's a way to deal with the time differently, right? How do you deal with the time differently? So I came up with an idea. On Shabbos morning, I give a very, very short Dvar Torah, right? Much shorter than in the olden days. The bigger drasha goes out over email on Thursday or Friday. So it probably is the same amount of time that it takes to roll from one direction or another. So I sent an email to a text to the Gaboyim in the off-site minyan that I'm coming. Usually I go over there first. I catch them before laning, and then I come back because we have more minyanim that are going on in the building. So I told him this week I'm going to work out of order because I want to be able to time it so that I should get over to you when you guys are rolling. This way, you guys can roll and I'll talk during that time. And as soon as you're done, I know that I'm done. And gee, everyone will walk away happy. So I thought that, Dr. Wenger, I thought you were going to make that suggestion also. That you're going to say to me, so say Adam's Miros while Kriyas HaTorah was going on. I don't think
you have to give kavod to your rabbi.
I'm sorry?
You got to give kavod to your rabbi.
I hear you, but I think that people can find something to make a use of the time. You know, honestly, so if you have to roll both directions, to say some of the other tefillos that, you know, lead people and tell them, let them say tell them for a couple of minutes. It's not such a big crisis to use the time effectively. I think that would certainly help the situation, and the people won't notice that, yeah, there's a little bit of rolling going on. And that won't be such a big crisis. Just finally, as I was putting my notes together, because now they all had to be rewritten, so my friend down in Florida, Rav Josh Flug, who's a tremendous, tremendous driving force down in Florida, he says, did anyone ever consider the third option? I said, what's the third option? Does anybody think that maybe what we should do, if we really care about Tircha D'Tzibura, maybe we should lay in Rosh Chodesh first, then go back and read the Parsha, and then read the Maftir for Parsha Shkalim? How come nobody ever asked that question before? Good question, right? You'll start in one place, roll back, and just keep on rolling. Good question. So Rabbi Leibowitz was in on the conversation. So he says, you can't do that because there's a Tshuva Nigras Moshe or a Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf Yod, who says that you have to understand what the laning on Shabbos morning is of a different status than the laning of the Maftir. The laning of Rosh Chodesh is considered at a qualitatively lower status we certainly would do the thing which is of higher qualitative status before you do the thing of lower qualitative status. And so therefore, there's no question that Parshas HaShavua would come first. So in summation, what we said and learned tonight, and we'll close on this point, is that, yeah, this is one of those exciting shilas that I'm sure none of us would have dreamed about talking about, even as simple as last year. But coronavirus has gotten us to appreciate all areas of Torah. And certainly, like I said, you know, this probably fits a certain idea that, you know, that all areas of Torah are not irrelevant. And they all carry a tremendous amount of excitement and a little bit of understanding of what's important in life. And so, yes, while on the one hand, we're concerned about, you know, the kavod of the tzibur and the tircha of the tzibur, but the kavod shamayim also carries a lot of weight. And sometimes the way we do things is connected to that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and how the Chachamim wanted us to establish ourselves certainly trumps the nature of a little bit of tircha on behalf of the tzibur. Other poskim, they don't agree with that idea. Other poskim take the opposite approach, and they say, what are you talking about? Be concerned about tircha de tzibura, but only in a situation where it's a real tircha. I don't think they would say that if a couple of people have to sit in a nice, comfortable gym, right, while we're rolling the Torah, that Rav Rimon or Rav Lau would allow it. Because look, you're flipping around the entire maftir, and you're going to forget the Haftorah says, and switch it for a different one, says Dr. Wanger, right? Correctly, by the way, allow me to add. So, but if it were to be a real tirchad situation, then yeah, that would be important. It's interesting that we come back to that Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe says the key thing is have no machlokas. That's so essential in Judaism. Tell the people that the greatest thing about not worrying about tirchad the tzibur is the fact that we stand all together as a tzibur. So bottom line, this Shabbos, in all the minyanim of North Avenue, all of them on-site, off-site, no matter how many Torahs we're going to be utilizing, our order will be that we will name the Parshas HaShavua, the special section for Rosh Chodesh HaShvi'i, the Maftir for Parshas Shkalim, and the Haftorah for Shabbos Parshas Shkalim, which comes from Melachim Beis. But also, as Dr. Wanger noted, yes, our practice is to also, at the end of the Haftorah, to read the first and the last psukim of the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, just to remind people that there is a process. It's interesting, when I asked Rabbi Teitz on that note, what happens if I start reading the wrong Haftorah? Rabbi Teitz says to me, so you started, so what? You can read that section and then go back and read the right one, right? That's not an issue. So make sure you get the right one in. I said, that would be a tirchad de tzibura. He appreciated that response. Okay, so to everybody else, have a wonderful, terrific Shabbos. A chodesh tovu mevorach. And may, as I mentioned to each of you individually this week, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this the start of a geula. A small geula that will bless Hashem lead to a large geula as well. Have a terrific, terrific Shabbos. Chodesh tovu mevorach.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you.